Amen. Are you all right? If you ever look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, I will read it for you, then I'll talk for a little bit, and then we can have a cup of tea. This is not a new message, but it's a message I like to preach at the end of the year when I can. And every now and again, I will preach something different. But I like to share this at the end of the year. Maybe it should be preached at the November, December. But I'll just preach it for one Sunday. Is that all right? But I trust it'll be a great blessing to you and equip you for the holidays. Verse 1. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, "There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except a little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I anointed you king of Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. If that had not had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and will give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with them, with your wives, in the sight of the sun. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing openly before all Israel and before the sun." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said to David, "And the Lord also has put away your sins, and you shall not die. However, because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also who is born to you shall surely die." And Nathan departed to his house. Father, add your blessing to the reading of your word. Give us insight into your heart. And bless us this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you didn't read the Bible this morning, that's good Bible reading for all of us. Is that all right? How many read their Bible? Don't put your hand up. Hallelujah. What happened to David? God sent Nathan, and Nathan gave this parable about a rich man and a poor man. A rich man having so much stuff, so much in his flock, his herds, and the poor man only had one little ewe lamb. And the story is amazing because it describes how this man raised this little ewe lamb and feeds the lamb out of his own plate and drink out of his own cup. And when the man sleeps, he puts the little ewe lamb on the top of his chest, raises the lamb with his children. And when the rich man had visitors, instead of killing from his flock, he took the poor man's lamb and killed it and gave it to the visitors. And David obviously was quite angry. And he said, surely this guy will die. But what he's done, he's going to pay back fourfold, which is the law. If you take somebody's sheep and you kill it, and you pay back fourfold. If you take somebody's cattle, you pay it back fivefold. So you pay back with five cows, or you pay back with four lambs. The question I want to ask us is, what happened to this man that we sang about this morning? You say, we didn't sing about David. Yes, we did. This man who said, Lord, if I go to heaven, you're there. If I go to hell, you're there. If I have the wings of the morning and live the uttermost parts of the sea, from there your presence will draw me and guide me. Where can I flee from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit? If I make my bed in hell, you're there. So David knew the epitome and the ecstasy of being so high in God that the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. Yet he also knew the depths of despair when this happened. And the blood that gives me and you strength will reaches to the highest mountain and flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength will never lose its power. And if a man understood that, it's the guy we're talking about. What happened to the man with God's own heart? What happened to this psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel? David is a very passionate man, very emotional man. You see that by his writings. When David is angry, he writes it. When he's emotional, he writes it. When he's far away from God, he writes it. When he's close to God, he writes it. When he's sin, he writes about it. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Renew a right spirit within me, and I will teach the transgressors your way. And when you are high, and if you're high and things are going well, and you read some of David's psalms when he's down, and you're high on a cloud and you read the psalms when David is trying to soul, he talks to himself. He's a bit senile, talks to himself. He said, soul, get up and praise the Lord, or I'll kill you. So when you're high and read some of those emotional psalms, you're going to say, what an inconsistent guy this is. But when you're low and you read some of those very same psalms, you're going to say, what a godly man. How did he understand my moods? How did he know that? And sometimes when he's angry, some of the things he said, break the teeth of the wicked, oh God. Let their prayer be sin before you. Don't even listen to them. God hates the wicked all day long. Hello? Have you read those psalms? I call them Dirty Harry psalms. Those of you who are young don't know who Dirty Harry is. It's Inspector Callahan in the Dirty Harry movie. You know, this Magnum is the most powerful handgun in the world. It'll blow your head clean off. And there are those psalms where you think, is this guy a Christian? And then there are those psalms when you read it, and say, wow, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all my diseases, crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercy, renews my strength like an eagle. Oh, hallelujah. Satisfies my mouth with good things. What happened to David? To answer that question, you go to chapter 11. And it'll give you a perspective that I trust will be a real blessing to you. And it says it happened in the spring of that year. It happened in the spring. Some translations said the year has expired. It's the end of the year. Where are we? The end of the year. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go to war, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. It happened at about exactly the same time we're in. And it is a principle of life. And if you would understand it, many times you will learn a lot of lessons so that you may detour from the things that normally happen at the end of the year. Hello? Now, obviously, Israel is in the northern hemisphere, so their spring is different. It's around the middle of the year, but it's still the end of their year. So, what happens at the end of the year? More people are killed on the road. More people drown. More violence happen at the end of any year than any other time of the year. Why? Have you ever wondered why police are out at the end of every year trying to stop people from killing themselves? There is a godly principle and a reason why that happens, and they've learned it from statistics, but you can learn it from the book. It's the time when kings go to war. That's when most Christians put down their guards, throw away their shield, take away their armor, and just put down every wall they've got. And more Christians backslide around this time of the year than any other time. Why? Because you're supposed to go to war. Now the devil goes to war, but the Christians walk around. Are you all right? Is that okay? Yeah. More people die on the roads, at homes, drugs, drown. And I've been praying for some of those people yesterday, the day before, and this morning, before I came to church. I don't even know them, but I pray that God will just comfort their families. I want to ask you a question. Did they go to die? No. Why did they die? Because they are not prepared for what they're heading into, but it's a time when kings go to war. You and I are kings and priests unto God. Are we? All right. Now, if kings go to war, David is not the only king. Are you okay? So the funny thing is, the pagan kings go to war and God's king stayed behind. The pagans are actually going to war. The devil is actually going to war. And the Christians. Now, should you have a holiday? Yes. Can you have a holiday now? Yes. But don't put down your guards just because you're having a holiday. And this is when everybody is in festive mood and you throw away every safeguard. Are you okay? I was talking to a friend in Christchurch this morning. One of our greatest missionaries, well in her 90s, well she's 90, 92 or 93, passed away. And he wants to go and represent me at the funeral, because the funeral's next week. He said, I know you won't take a break. So I know you'll be busy, but I'll go to the funeral. Me and my wife will go represent you and Fia and our movement. I said, thank you very much. That guy knows me quite well. And most Christmas times, around this time of the year, we go and minister. Now, we don't go and minister because we're trying to be somebody. We just go work. Because it's time for kings to go to war. So we'll speak at a conference tonight in Auckland. We'll finish our speaking engagement at the conference on Wednesday morning, and then we'll come home. We'll have New Year, and then we'll go and speak at a brethren conference again in Auckland. Why do these people hold conferences at the end of the year? I think they discovered something. And a lot of people say, well, it's time for people to go to holiday. Well, it's time for kings to go to war. Are you all right? I think family came from overseas. I don't know if the papers are correct in reporting. The two of them died at Raglan Beach just 2 or 3 days ago. Did they come all the way from overseas to die here? No. David stayed behind and sent somebody else in his stead. And it was while he was staying behind, he saw a woman bathing. He was walking on the top of his house, obviously looking down into Jerusalem, and he saw a woman bathing. I heard some guys said, well, that woman shouldn't bathe like that. He's probably a man preacher trying to justify stupidity. Well, it was a man preacher. Let me tell you how they constructed their houses. They put a fence, you know, a wall. So when they open the door to the whole compound. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. The door is actually a wall. So they push the wall aside to let people in. Inside the safety of that courtyard, they've got a house, you know, and they have a well. And it's normally in the middle, the back of the house, or in the middle of the courtyard. And that's where you bathe. Nobody can see you because of the walls. But because the palace was high, the lady was just doing what ladies do. Are you all right? And just about every home has a well. That's why when David was running away from Absalom. The boys sent the boys back to just commute, trying to find out what's going on. A lady hit the two boys in the well. Where's the well? In there, and just cover the well over. Are you okay? So David saw this woman having a bath. Now, if he'd gone to battle, he'll never see her. But even though he saw her, the next point of my message is David saw something he should not have seen. Most people see things they shouldn't see during their holidays. If you have a holiday, go bush. Enjoy God. Enjoy nature. But have a break. Amen. I don't think God is opposed to you and I having a holiday. Amen. You need to have a holiday. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be paranoid. You can go and have a holiday. But when you go and have a holiday, you need to be aware that the kings that are pagan, the devil goes to war. Hallelujah. And most of the time, we are defeated by what we see. Are you okay? She saw that the tree was good to eat. She ate of the fruit. She gave it to her husband who was beside her, standing right there. Are you okay? That leadership streak in women is always there. And sometimes if you don't harness it, you will lead your home. Hello? You were born with that leadership streak. That's why Paul said, harness it. All right? Be quiet sometimes. You don't have to always prophesy. Tell God to tell your husband so your husband can prophesy. But he's never prophesied before. That's exactly right. That's exactly what Adam did. I'll detour for a little while. The same passivity that came from Adam is resident in every man. That's why sometimes you ask your husband, what are we going to do? He said, I don't know. It's not because he doesn't know anything. He just, at the time, does not know what's going to happen. And while you may lead well because you have plans, he probably doesn't have any plans. Whatever comes will go. What was that, Mrs. Stevens? I know you're saying something about Gary. But the same leadership that caused Eve to lead is resident in one sense or another, stronger or lower, in every woman. But the same passivity that came down from Adam is resident in every man. That does not mean that he can't lead. But if you keep on insisting, he will let you lead until one day you fall on your face. So, Paul said to Timothy, let the man pray, lifting up holy hands. Why? Because men will always let the women pray. Now, who prays in the church? The intercessors are mostly all women, and the women's prayer meeting on Monday, there's no guy there. And when you come to the prayer meeting on Wednesday, women always outnumber the guys. Why? It's a flaw that came from Adam, and it's resident in every male of a species. So Paul said to Timothy, tell the women to be quiet and let the men say something. Now that's hard for some women to be quiet, but it's also hard for some men to say something. You think I'm brief. Because when, you ask me a question, I'll give you a one-word answer. Some people say, how can you preach so long when you're so brief in conversation? And I am. You think I'm brief? You should meet my dad. If he says hello in a week, you'll have a good week. Isn't that right, Hoheba? Hallelujah. Say amen. Is this all right? So first, he should have gone to war. The kings that did not know God knew this was a season for war. They went to war and God's king stayed back in the palace and sent somebody on his behalf. And then he saw something he should not have seen. However, even though he's seen that, he can just turn around. But it was hard. He's a passionate, emotional man. And as much as Eve saw the fruit and it was good to eat, gave it to her husband, many people, men and women, have been destroyed because of the things they've seen, they look at. Samson went to Timnath. He came back and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath. Get her for me to be my wife. His father tried to persuade him. He wouldn't. And God tried to persuade him. And so he went to Timnath. That did not go well. Then he went to Gath. That did not go well. And then he went down to Sorek. And that did not go well. He lost his vision. They dug out his eyes. Why? The very eyes that saw, the very things they dug out, is the very thing that causes defeat. David looked at a woman and wanted her. Now, David had a problem because now the woman is pregnant and found out that her husband is in the war. The guy, the more godly guy in this equation, is the man whose wife David took. He's at war instead of David. And David got him back, said to him, go sleep with your wife. You're tired. The man did not go. He said, why should I go and have a time with my wife, enjoy my home, enjoy my family, when my Lord Joab is still at the battle? So he slept at the corridors of the palace. And when David tried to get him drunk so he'd go home, but he didn't. And when he got up in the morning, he was going back to the war, and David wrote to Joab, put Uriah the Hittite in the heat of the battle, withdraw from him and let him. What happened to the man with God's own heart? The spiraling down was so fast. He committed adultery, got a lady pregnant, and now he's going to plan to kill her husband. He murdered, committed adultery, and tried to cover it up. All because he didn't go to war. Are you all right? And then God said, when you were nobody, I made you somebody. I gave you your master's house and his wives to look after and his treasures and stuff, and gave you a throne and a diadem from the paddocks to the palace. You're now king of the nation. Then God said something very, very peculiar, and it's what we've been talking about. He said, if that was not enough, if what I gave you was not enough, I would have given you more. All you needed to do is ask me. Now that's amazing. The guy's got a kingdom, he's got a throne, he's got a palace, he's got a diadem, he's got armies, he's got generals, he's got gold, he's got wealth. And God said, if that was not enough, why didn't you ask me for more? That's an amazing thing to say. I would have given you more. Why? Because if you're not satisfied, ask God for more. Now, the problem with us is we always have a difficulty with materialism. Because we always term everything in material stuff. But even so, you could ask God for more. Why? Because David violated one of the most basic principles of the kingdom, and that's what we've been talking about. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Maoris think so big, and Samoans think so big, and you think so big. But when you stop, you violate the kingdom, because the kingdom of God knows no end. There's no boundaries to the kingdom. You can gain the whole world and lose your soul if you don't have God. But did you know that you are heirs of everything? You're richer than you think. You're joint heirs with Christ. And it's not just the earth. It's everything. So when you think you haven't gotten anything, count your blessings and ask God for more. Hallelujah. Are you all right? A lot of people have problem with power. There's no problem with power if you know what power is for. And you know what power, where power comes from. Where does power come from? The Bible says all power comes from God. Why does God give you power? So that you can bless people. And it's not wrong to have power. It's wrong to misuse it. And David misused his power. You know, in the mind of the Hebrew, the greatest sin David did was not adultery. It was the misuse of his power. He killed a man, took his wife as his own. All power comes from God. Now, to whom does God give power? God gives power to the humble. Barry Smith asked me a question. Before he died, he said, "Illy, is there something that you see in the church that you don't like?" I said, "There's a lot of things in the church that are not right. But there's one particular thing that I don't like." I said, "People start off humble servants and end up as celebrities." David started off the same. God said, "I took you from the paddocks, gave you a kingdom, gave you a throne. Why didn't you have pity?" What is pity? It's to love tenderly, to be full of eager yearning, to be merciful. To be compassionate. Humble people are compassionate. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. God gives power to live to the humble. And the more humble you are, the more grace will come, the more power God will release to you, because God can trust you with the power to help other people. Many times we start off small and then we think we've done something. We think we're special. Most special person did not demand a hospital room or a room in the inn. The most special was born in a stable. He didn't go to farmers on Boxing Day to get more bargains. Are you all right? So let's recapitulate. It's a big word for a sermon. Recapitulate what we just said. What happened to David? David lost his appetite for war. It was a long year. It's come all this way, and it's come along. It's been a long year. You get to the end of the year. The year is expiring. It's springtime. It's the end of the year, and it's time to just have a celebrate what the year has been. Except, it's the very same time the kings go to war. Second thing is, David saw something he should not have seen. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that I will not sin with a maid. Thirdly, David violated a basic principle of the kingdom. He was satisfied with what God gave instead of asking God for more. At this time, as the year expires, the springtime, things are going well, it's been a long year, you need a break, have a break. Don't forget, time for kings to go to war. Are you all right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning and we honor you. You're a good God to us, Lord God, and we thank you for 2015. We thank you for the way you brought us this far by your grace. We stand at the end of this year, Lord God, as the year expires, Lord God, and look back at your faithfulness, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, we can celebrate, Lord God, a great year that you've crowned with your kindness, Lord God, and your bounty. But help us, Lord God, to remember it's also time for kings to go to war. The Lord, that we will not throw away our shield, even as Saul and Jonathan's shield were thrown away on mountain of Gilboa. That our shield will always be in its place. Helmet of salvation, the gospel preparation of the gospel of peace, girded with your truth, a breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Help us to enjoy, Lord God, you, enjoy your creation. Enjoy having a break, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. But help us also to be aware that we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, because we are warned, we are equipped. Bless your people today. Bless us in the days ahead. Bless the coming year, Lord God. Touch our lives and minister through us that others may know that you're a God that is good. We honor you this morning. Lord, we pray for those that have needs of any kind, Lord God, that those needs will be met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whether it's physical healing or financial or social, relational, Lord God, we pray that those needs will be met. Hallelujah. According to your riches in glory. Hallelujah. We bless you today. You're a good God to us. Thank you for 2015. Hallelujah. We've got many things to thank God for. You can do that. Hallelujah. And help us, Lord God, to usher in 2016 with a victorious shout. We honor you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you.